Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. My name is Matt Weston, and tonight I'm joined by my good friend Taylor. What's up, man? How's it going?
Doing all right. Just, you know, hanging out. I'm glad you didn't call me last week because, you know, Dallas was on a bye, so we wouldn't have had anything to talk about.
Well, instead, what happened, that's not the truth, but what happened really was we went to Las Vegas last weekend, and we put $250 down on Colorado State, Wyoming, after not watching either of these teams, and quickly realized that we made the wrong bet as soon as we saw the quarterback. Like, once I saw Colorado State's quarterback, I knew we were screwed, because this guy has a mullet and a mustache, and you can't have both. You can only have one or the other, you know?
I think the greatest thing about it, though, was when we both put it down. By the way, $500 total here for Colorado State. I think the greatest thing was, about an hour before the game, when we were sitting in the sports book, a guy turns around and he says, "Oh, so you're bidding on Colorado State? My daughter goes there. Look, I bid on them as well." Yeah, I don't think they're going to win, though. Why would he just blatantly tell us that? That was the bad sign from the start. We should have known then that that was not the team to pick.
Yeah, and his reasoning, too, was because he watched that game 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
And they played really badly in it 2 years ago. What a just terrible human being.
That was horrible. And then
the lint in my belly button, that man.
They proceeded to just get their ass beat. I love our reactions whenever we looked and saw their two drives. We just stared at each other and said, "Oh no!"
Yeah, and I just like sat slumped in my seat, you know, using my free drink coupons, and went to bed shortly after that because I couldn't take anymore. And then also too, they ran the ball 20 times for 20 yards. They had like 9 tackles for a loss. Wyoming did. And they kept running the ball. And then as soon as they spread it out and actually threw the ball around, they were great. Number 11 is the greatest receiver of all time. And I still can't believe it. I think the head coach at Colorado State had the fix in once he found out the $500 we put on it.
I told you, they made the call. They said, "Whoa, they know something." Yeah. Somebody called the coach.
Yeah, I think so for sure. But I do like gambling, though, again, because on Sunday after you flew out, I was able to hit on Redskins 1-point favorites against the Giants.
Oh my God, Brad.
Double down on it at halftime. I was able to hit on the Jaguars 4-point favorites, or Eagles 4-point favorites against the Jaguars, and the Cardinals went straight up against the 49ers. I did lose on a parlay with the Browns and Bengals and Redskins because the Browns are bad. And I bet on the Bengals too. It was 3.5-point favorites that we landed. Then Sunday dropped down to 3. And
you're just bragging about yourself right now.
Yeah, because I feel good. I'm just trying to extol that I like gambling
again. Yeah, okay. Well, I lost everything I put down. Okay, I won one bet, and that was with the San Antonio Spurs because they're the greatest team ever.
Yeah, that was fun. I was happy for y'all.
Thank you. But that was the only bet I won. I lost so much money. Oh my Lord.
It's not like you have a house, you have a mortgage or anything. So
yeah,
be okay.
Of course. I live on the street still, so this is my only source of income.
Yeah, that part will be okay. So I know. In addition to gambling, you know, I'm fine with it. And I was anti-gambling for a long time, mainly just because of I thought if gambling became legal, it would affect the game in a bad way. And then last week, Todd Gurley kneels about the 2-yard line. He says, "Screw fantasy football, screw Vegas, we're here to win football games." And now after me coming out even, going to Vegas, and Todd Gurley, what he said, "I'm okay with gambling."
Oh, that's good.
I'm looking forward to being legal in Texas so I can have more Sundays like we had last week.
I'm happy. Well, at least they have your blessing now.
Yeah, next time, fly out like 8:30 on Sunday night, you know?
Oh, God, no. There's just no way, especially because, no. That would not have worked at all.
It might have gotten even worse. So, in the NFL, aside from our own little lives, the bigger thing that happened last week, in addition to Week 8, were the trade deadline happened. And you, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, your football team traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper for 8 games this year, 16 games next year. It's assumed that they'll pick up his fifth-year option, pay him $12 million next year. So are you okay with this trade, even after looking at what the Lions got, what the Eagles got for Golden Tate, and what the Texans had to give up for Demaryius Thomas?
I absolutely hate this trade, but it's okay because it's panic button. Jerry doesn't want to admit, and by the way, we also fired the offensive line coach as well. And that's just because it's panic button. He doesn't know what's going on with the offense. And so now, didn't have a receiver, said you didn't need it. All of a sudden, you need a receiver. So we're going to give you a first rounder for Amari. Even though they said it was pretty much a bidding war between them and Philly. Because Philly offered the second And that's why Dallas is the one that went up to the first. I don't know. But either way, the fact that Philly got Golden Tate for just the third, that's a big steal. Same thing with even Houston getting Demaryius Thomas for a fourth. Even though, does Demaryius Thomas have much left in the tank?
He's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. I'm more jealous of the Golden Tate, I'll be honest, especially for the third. But with the Amari Cooper addition, this is kind of, everyone's now going to be looking at Dak.
Yeah.
It's actually not a lot of pressure on Amari Cooper, I feel. It's a lot of pressure on Dak now to say, hey, we got you a weapon. You say you didn't need a receiver. Now this takes the focus off just Zeke to open up the field. Here you go.
Yeah.
I still don't believe it.
Yeah. I think the problem with the trade is one of the first round picks a lot to give up.
Yeah.
Also, you know, the way Dallas is right now, even if they make the playoffs, they're down by, you know, a game and a half to the Redskins right now. And even if they make the playoffs, they'll be like a 6 seed, you know, probably.
The Redskins, I guess, added they'll be a 4 seed. Well.
They'll probably be a 4 seed to make the playoffs. And then also, if they don't make the playoffs, you're looking at like the 15th or 14th pick. And with Cooper, even if you keep him next year, you're going to have to pay him $12 million for his 5th year option. You probably get a wide receiver that's even better next year for agency for about $12 million a year, too. Because Cooper just goes quiet too often. He has stat lines that like two. We'll talk more about this in the Dallas game, but he has too many stat lines where he's completely invisible. And so I don't think it's worth giving him a first round pick. It only is if it's going to help you out this year. But even then, like how much he's going to help Dallas out this year is questionable because you're having to learn a whole new offense, gain chemistry with the whole new quarterback, and that thing doesn't really like happen immediately. It takes a little bit more time than just you know 4 practices to have occur.
Oh yeah, no, I completely agree. Except Amari Cooper, you could really tell, does take certain plays off, and that's why those stat lines kind of tell you one thing some games, other things a different game.
Yeah.
My thing is, now that he's completely under the lights with Dallas, because everybody pays attention to Dallas Cowboys, whether you're a fan or not, you watch them because you either want them to win or you want them to lose.
And they're on at 3 o'clock every week, no matter what's happening.
Oh, exactly right. And they're still going to be the most watched game every single week. It just happens. I mean, you're America's team, so it's the curse of being the greatest.
Yeah. Well, the most talked about, I guess. Not the greatest. My favorite trade from the trade deadline, though, doesn't have to involve the receivers. It was the Saints getting Eli Apple for a 3rd-round pick. Apple was really good as a rookie. He had drop-off last year. He's been fine this year.
Didn't he have personnel problems, though? Didn't they hate his attitude and that was why?
That was part of it. He was also, like, really immature, too.
Yeah.
Talking about, like, poops and farts to like, female reporters and things like that.
Of course.
But the biggest thing about it is the Saints are, like, I think they're 30th in pass defense DVOA. Yeah. And we'll talk about the Saints a little bit, too. But P.J. Williams is their slot corner, and he's been obliterated over and over and over again this year. And so by getting Eli Apple, you knock P.J. Williams down the depth chart, and now you have 3 cornerbacks you can play in Crowley, Eli Apple, and Marshawn Lattimore. I think this can make a huge difference for their pass defense. Also, you consider that their pass rush has been pretty good with Rankins, Davenport, and Cameron Jordan. So I think it helps them out a lot just by addition by subtraction a lot of ways too.
So you don't think the ha-ha Clinton Dix going to Washington was better than that one?
I think just
because that's huge for a defense that truly just got even better. That actually what scares me the most. They're leading the division and they pick up HaHa. What did they get him for? What was it, a 4th?
I think it was a third.
It was a third? Either way, what the hell? So that actually was the one that was the bigger deal.
I was more surprised the Packers made the trade. My reason with the Saints one, I think, being better, because I think the Saints are for sure Super Bowl contender.
I agree.
And the Redskins are a fine team. But with Alex Smith at quarterback, you're not going to be anything more than your first
Alex Smith only wins. He only wins, man. I don't know what you're talking about. Have you not been watching the same team I have?
I watched on Sunday when they beat the Giants.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Oh, my God. You and your bets. Who cares?
Man, that was my favorite trade. I don't understand why the Packers made that trade, though. Because Clinton Dix is really good.
That's what I was saying. He's not even having a down year. It doesn't even make sense.
And the Packers are 3-3-1 right now.
Yeah, and they're still trying to make a push for the playoff spot as well. I do not understand that at all. And now, again, Washington's defense becomes better. As a Cowboys fan, it's everybody in the NFC East made a trade.
Yeah.
That is absolutely ridiculous. And the Giants are just hanging back.
They made trades, but they traded guys away.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, another thing that I think was good about the Redskins trade for them is that you have DJ Swearinger, who's been great, strong safety. Now he's able to play closer to the box because Diggs can play from the center of the field to the sideline.
Yep.
And so now you allow your strong safety to play close to the line of scrimmage where he can make more tackles and screen passes and affect the running game more and those sorts of things. Because he is a liability in deep zone coverage, he kind of struggles passing guys off. And he can get burned. He's kind of a slower guy, too.
Dallas still should have beaten them. That's all I'm going to try to say. Like, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
That was 2 weeks ago, Taylor.
No. Like, seriously.
We're different people.
No, we're not different people. Because I have to go back to it. Because that just means, like I said, whenever everybody was making a big deal, oh, look at the Cowboys. They beat the Jags. They destroyed them. Well, now look what the Jags are. And now look where the Cowboys are, because they just lost to Washington. And Washington is just running away the division.
Yeah.
I mean, because now Philly and Dallas are far behind, and they're trying to make trades, and yet they're still making trades and getting better. Oh, my God, I hate this division.
It's fun, though, in some ways.
No.
It's my favorite thing about the NFC East is how there's always a different winner every year.
Yeah.
Nobody repeats. It's like how the NFC South used to be.
I hate it so much. It's so stressful every single week. But those are the games that matters, because I feel like this week, against the Tennessee Titans, which we'll talk about. If we were to win that game, I still don't think it matters until we're playing like either the Philly or the Redskins again.
Yeah.
God, I hate the division.
The other thing I like about the NFC East, too, is whenever the Texans came in, they made all those division realignments. And it's cool how much they kept the NFC East the same. A lot of the other divisions got really kind of morphed around whenever they switched to the eight divisions. And
yeah,
it's cool that they kept the NFC East so far alive, because they could definitely put the Cowboys in the NFC South, you know, and that sort of thing. But they kept it pretty much the same.
Yeah, but there's just so much hatred in the division. Yeah. Why not keep it going forever and ever?
Yeah, yeah. The world could have been a much nicer place. Instead, they kept it ugly and mean and ruthless.
Exactly.
Good job, NFL.
It's nice.
So for our record right now, I'm at 11-5. You're at 8-8. We're going to start making the picks with the spread. And we're going to keep up to date with this the entire year, too. There's no escape at all. And now I'm a wise guy now after this three bets I won.
Yeah, Colorado in Vegas State, last man. Sunday. Colorado yeah. State forever and ever.
Well, you can't forget about the rest of Sunday. That was only one part of it. So this week, we're going to talk about 5-3 Houston against 3-5 Denver, 3-4 Dallas against 3-4 Tennessee, 3-4 Tampa against 5-2 Carolina, and Los Angeles Rams against the 6-1 Saints. And these are four really good games, but I think this is the best week of football we're going to have also in general. We're not even talking about these games, but also there's Chargers, Seahawks, Packers, Patriots, Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs, Browns, Falcons, Redskins, and Lions, Vikings. Man, my voice is terrible. So in addition to these four
Lovely.
Games, there's eight other really good games on watch this weekend too.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm very excited because I won't be able to watch any of them because, you know, I'll be at work. But it's okay because in spirit, I'm going to record every single thing and then watch it later on, because just like you said, this weekend is going to be fantastic. I'm not feeling it as strong as you. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I'm completely full of it right now. Mm-hmm. You just said that the Chargers and the Seahawks is going to be great.
Oh, I can't wait for it.
What is that?
It's going to be a lot of fun.
How is that going to be fun?
Because Phillip Rivers is beautiful. And the Seahawks' defense have switched. Like, they've done a really good job transitioning from the Legion Boom to this group with a bunch of younger guys really well.
Man, I'm not buying into any of this. In fact, even the games this week, I think half of them are good. It's even the Dallas Cowboys game. I think it's going to be boring against the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably I think the two worst games are the Titans Cowboys game, then Chiefs Browns. But at least Chiefs Browns, I can watch the Browns finally. And also, it's Mayfield versus Mahomes.
So wait, you're just excited because Hugh Jackson was fired?
Yeah, I can't wait. I finally get to watch the Browns.
So you're excited to watch Baker Mayfield? Are you going to jump on that train?
I don't know. I haven't watched him play yet.
You haven't watched him play yet,
yeah,
even with the bet.
I'm excited for Mahomes Mayfield, though.
No, man. I think it's going to be I think that's just going to be a slaughter. I don't know.
The Browns have a good defense. It's a good
but
game.
But the Chiefs' defense is all of a sudden turn it around, and now teams are struggling against them.
It kind of
looks like it.
They've had good players play better.
Whatever.
I would say they've turned it around. And also, I think with football in general, I think teams are tackling a lot better now. I think defenses have caught up some. And I think part of it is with the way the new training camp rules, guys they limit the number of practices, the number of contact practices. And so whenever the season starts, defenses aren't used to hitting. And you really can't practice defense unless you're hitting each other.
It's true.
Unlike an offense where you can kind of practice in shorts and shirts, But the defense takes about like 4 or 5 weeks, it seems like, to catch up to the offense. So now these games that were 38-21, now 28-21. And I like football a lot more because of it too. So I'm super excited for this week because November football is really good. December football is like the best. And also the games this week are good too.
December football is the best. Oh, God.
It is. It's when we have some real men come out, actually.
You like seeing real men, don't you, come out?
Oh, of course. I like scratching my dog and when the real men come out. So the first game we're going to talk about is Denver-Houston. This game right now for the line is a pick'em whenever I checked on ESPN, yeah. Which is super surprising to me.
I kind of thought that too.
Usually they get about like 2 points or so if they're the home team. And so maybe it was about two, but because the game's in Denver, it switched to a pick'em. But I was surprised by that. The one thing that's really kind of happened with Houston is they've gone from 0-3 to 5-3. And the three biggest reasons why is the schedule broke really nicely for them. They're playing against a lot of teams that have to run the ball to have success. Houston is first in run defense DVOA, -30%. They passed the Saints this past week. Second, they're actually able to get pass rush with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. The first three games, it wasn't really there at all. And now since the Indianapolis game, both Watt and Clowney combined have been able to get pass rush. And then lastly, the last 2 weeks, Deshaun Watson stopped turning the ball over too. So they're not giving away easy points, and they're able to turn these games that were 20-13 into blowouts because Watson's not handing over 10 points a game or so. And so this is another team that the Texans are playing that has to run the ball to have success. The Broncos are second run offense, DVOA. But even against the Cowboys, a team of Ezekiel Elliott with a really good run offense, the Texans are able to stop them too. And so I do think this game kind of matches up easy for Houston by default because of their run defense against a team that has to run the ball to have success.
That's what I was going to say, man. It actually plays right into Houston's hands. And it's because with the defense coming at Case Keenum and their line actually has just been getting torched, so it's just setting up perfectly for Texas to kind of just take this game away, which the pick'em is what surprised me. I figured that Houston would be the favorite, which I actually have a question to ask you. You as the Houston hater, even though you're a fan, you say, you always doubt your team, but do you believe in them now? Well, are you starting to be a believer?
I picked them to win last week.
Do you think that they can have a shot to like go far in this thing? Maybe get into the playoffs?
I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to win the division.
How far in the playoffs are they going to get?
I think probably the second round.
Ooh.
I mean, they play the Ravens in the first round or a team like that. So run the ball, they should be okay. You always assume they're going to beat the Bengals in the playoffs because that's just the way the world works. But the problem is they're going to, whenever they play a team like the Chargers or the Steelers or the Patriots or the Bengals or the Chiefs, those teams that actually spread them out and attack their back cornerback play, they're going to have to score 38 points to win or 31 points to win. And they haven't done that yet. The one wild card that they have is that Watson's been hit a lot and they kind of stopped using him as a runner. But whenever the playoffs start around December and Watson's fully healed and they start using him as a runner more often, I think this offense can actually start scoring, 30 points pretty easily. But until that happens, I think they're becoming more cautious. And it's even more kind of like run. Maybe it looks like he's going to run with Watson, but he really isn't. So I think right now it's all kind of a masquerade.
All right, so even though I think this plays right into Houston's hands, I'm going to be honest. I think that they're going to lose because something's going on. Why would Denver trade Demaryius Thomas to Houston when they're playing them this week?
Secrets, I guess.
There are secrets happening that we do not know. Something has been planted to where Houston, why didn't Houston pick up on this? They should have known better. Demaryius Thomas is going to blow the game. He's going to probably hit a ball away when he's in the end zone, wide open. Just say, no, I don't want that. Game's going to be over. Houston loses. Denver wins. Goes into the bye week. That's what I'm envisioning. Demaryius Thomas then says bye.
Then the Texans release him, and then he signs back.
It's all a big conspiracy, even though I will say, that kind of did show me that Houston is serious on this push that you guys are making, and I kind of am becoming a believer in y'all, especially with this division where y'all seem like y'all are going to be running away with it. Once Fuller went down, you immediately fixed it. It was not sitting around, not saying, oh, we're going to wait for another guy to come up. It was, we're going to go get somebody. Let's get this guy in here right now. We have a chance here. So that was a big deal. I find it funny.
Yeah. Yeah, the coincidence of it is funny. I mean, I think the only way that can happen is if they run like a reverse and Demaryius Thomas sacks Deshaun Watson from behind. whenever
he's going to put the ball. Oh my God, all laughed so hard.
Something like that. But yeah, I mean, I think what I like about the Demaryius Thomas trade is that on the outside, if you don't have Demaryius Thomas, you're either playing Vincent Smith or Sammy Coates. Vincent Smith is an undrafted free agent who just like runs go routes and tries to jump over guys, but hasn't been able to do it once this year. And Sammy Coates is just not very good at all whatsoever. And the other thing I like about the trade too is it keeps Kiki Cutie on the inside whenever he comes back from his hamstring injury. So he's not going to play on the outside spot that doesn't really fit him at all very well. And so now your offense still kind of stays the same. And Thomas is all right. You need a guy out there on the other sideline who can get first downs. And that's what Thomas can be able to do. He's slower now, but he still has a big frame. He can still run, like, you know, post routes and curls and box guys out and get first downs. And that's important, you know.
Yeah. For me, when it comes to the Texans, I really want them to succeed because I truly love Deshaun Watson. I just hate your coach. Because you do understand that now, just like I've said before, because y'all are winning, Bill O'Brien's going to be staying put.
Oh, yeah, he's not going anywhere.
So this is, what would you prefer at this point? Would you want to continue the win streak, have Bill for the next, dude, he's going to be Jason Garrett. You're going to have your winning season. Then you're going to go to the playoffs. You're going to lose the first playoff game. And then he's going to be around for another 3 to 4 years. He's going to do it again. And then he's going to be around for another 3 to 4 years. You're never going to get rid of him. You're stuck. I kind of like this plan. Feel my pain.
Yeah, well, I wrote earlier, like two weeks ago, I wanted him to get Mike Mularkied. So I wanted the Texans to make the playoffs. I wanted them to win like one playoff game and then have him get fired immediately afterwards. Because I don't think it's really what's going to change. The only thing that's changed is that he finally started doing things that worked last year that he should have been doing all along this year. But he went back to his old stupid offense that's really bad. He's like, oh yeah, this worked. Let's do this again. It works. And also the Texans start winning close games again. They were 0-3 to start the year in one possession games. They went 3-3. And they won two games at more than two possessions, the Jaguars. And I can't remember who they even beat last week now.
Wait, no, you played Miami.
In Miami. Yeah, it was so long.
Destroyed Miami. It was the Thursday night game.
It was so long ago. But they won those two games in more than possession now. And like the biggest thing has changed, they're running that cool offense again too. The problem about this week for them offensively is the Broncos have a really good pass defense right now. They're second pass defensive DVOA, -15.3%. They're 28th against the run, which is cool because they've been blocking the second level better. Lamar Miller has back-to-back games with 100 rushing yards. But the problem is they have Von Miller, they have Bradley Chubb, and they have Shaquille Barrett. Yeah. Miller has 8 sacks, Chubb has 7 sacks, Barrett has 2 sacks. Miller also has 14 quarterback hits and 9.5 hurries. Chubb has 10 quarterback hits and 17.5 hurries. Kendall Lamb's still the right tackle. Julian Davenport's still the left tackle. And so there's still gonna be struggles on that end on pass protecting the Broncos, even though it's been better the past 2 weeks.
You think John Elway needs to admit that he was wrong?
About what?
About his quarterback decision.
I mean, he's been wrong for like 6 weeks.
But that's my entire point.
Or I guess like 6 years.
Yeah, he's been wrong about every single thing. He thinks that he can bring in anybody just like he did with Peyton, and they're automatically going to win. Case is not, as much as you are a fan of Case, dude, he is not good. I mean, he has 10 TDs and 10 interceptions this year. He's throwing the ball quite a bit. But he is not good. And the only reason why Denver is somewhat decent is because they found a bright spot in Lindsey, who came out of absolutely nowhere, which is kind of cool to watch because, again, where did Philip Lindsey come from?
Colorado State.
Oh, my. Don't
he actually, no, I think, even looked I think up. He don't came tell. From Colorado. I think he was from Colorado.
Okay.
He's from Colorado, but I think he's from the University of Colorado.
Man, I don't think I could do that. I was going to talk real nice about him. Okay, that makes me feel better. Either way, Case Keenum is not the answer at all. And this is John Elway now. His draft pick didn't work. He decided to bring in somebody that had a hot start in Minnesota, but has turned back into the quarterback that he always was. You over there always saying Case Keenum is good.
He was good last year.
He's good.
Last year, he was good.
Oh, my God. He is no different than Moore.
I understand he's bad this year, but last year he was good.
Do you think they could easily be better with the Derek Carr on their team?
Yeah, Derek Carr, they'd be better.
Yeah, like how much better?
With Alex Smith, they'd be better.
Oof.
That's like as mediocre as it gets.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about, though, is that they could have made a move for an Alex Smith. They could have at least signed Kirk Cousins. They could have done something, except he automatically goes for Case Keenum.
I think he was interested in Cousins, but Cousins wanted more than he wanted to give him. So he went with Keenum. And the thing is, I don't think John Elway knows what regression to the mean is. Because last year was obviously an outlier for Keenum. He was the most efficient quarterback in football. But this year, he's kind of dropping back to his normal stats. I know compared to last year. So last year, he had a 4.6% touchdown rate, a 1.5% interception rate, a 4.4% sack rate. This year, he has a 3.5% touchdown rate, a 3.5% interception rate, and a 7.1% interception rate. And so he's falling back on old habits. He's not climbing the pocket like he did last year in Minnesota. He's trying to turn out run guys, which he can't do. And he's making bad decisions as well. Some of these interceptions are Jameis Winston, like they're just so stupid. Yeah. And he wasn't doing that in Minnesota. He's doing that this year with the Broncos. And then in addition to that, you're also looking at a team who you're looking at a quarterback who's playing without the same wide receiver talent that he had in Minnesota. Throwing the ball to Emmanuel Sanders, throwing the ball to Sutton, Demaryius Thomas is a lot different than throwing the ball to Adam, the best wide receiver in football, Thielen, and Stephon Diggs as well. So, yeah, I understand that Case Keenum has dropped off this year. I understand he's not as good of a quarterback as he's been previously. But, last year he was really great, and you can't entirely take that away from him at all either.
I need you to admit to me that he's terrible.
I'm going to admit that he's bad this year, but he was really good last year.
No. Come on.
He's bad this year.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's not bad this year. He is bad this year.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I need to know. And because my whole thing when it comes to this Denver Broncos team as well is I don't even know who they are, man. They're all over the place for me as well.
Well, they're good. So, they're good at two things. They can run the ball well, and they can play good pass defense.
But they also, play the Rams tough this year.
Yeah.
And then they get their butts whipped by the Jets. They get destroyed. So
well, they gave a bunch of deep touchdown passes that game.
It makes no sense to me. I have no idea what this team is doing. John Elway has no idea what this team is doing. That's why they're getting rid of Demaryius Thomas. This is Sanders' last year on this contract as well. He's going to be gone. Elway, for some reason, he loves that defense. That defense is great. There's no taking that away, and it's going to build into something. However, that offense, he has no idea what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, also, like you mentioned Lindsey, in addition to Lindsey, they have two other running backs. They have Royce Freeman, Devontae Booker. Is Lindsey your favorite running back of the bunch?
Yeah, I don't even think it's close. Even though Devontae Booker had a good game last week, I mean, sure, it was because he got in the game because they had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Except Lindsey is still the breakout, and he's not even doing bad. I mean, I have him at 93 for 531, and he has 3 TDs, 18 receptions for 136 yards.
He can do both. He can both catch and run.
Yeah, and again, kind of the cool bright spot for everybody here. I still don't think Denver has a chance in this game, I'll be honest. It can be close for me, but I think Houston's just going to dominate them because Case Keenum is terrible.
The other thing I like about Philip Lindsay, too, is he looks like he could be a snowboarder and like SSX tricky.
That's what He looks so Rado, bro. When he first started playing and I saw his picture when I was looking at my fantasy feed, I go, that's not real.
Yeah.
Well, that guy's not real. What, did they pick him off of the street or something?
Yeah, he looks like an SSX tricky snowboarder.
All of a sudden, he's a star, which it's fine.
The other thing about the running backs, too, is that so Lindsay can both run and catch. Royce Freeman can only run, and then Booker can only catch passes. And so they have one of each, and then Lindsay's just the middle of the Venn diagram,
Hey, at least, Lindsay, this was his rookie year, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so they're kind of solid at running back now, except getting everything else because they're about to lose all their wide receivers.
Yeah, and they did use a second-round pick on Booker, too, which I think he's one of those guys who just can bounce all over the league for 7 years and then retire and nobody's going to remember him at all.
Oh, definitely. And by the way, were you excited about Lamar Miller last game, too, against Miami? You don't really talk about your running back. See, you don't even like your team. This is my problem with you.
All right, look, here's the thing is,
I mean, he goes off.
It goes NFL first, and the Texans are here. They're number two. So, football is my favorite game. I like the game itself more than I like the Texans,
What? You're a horrible fan.
I'm an all right fan.
You're a horrible fan.
I'm an all right fan. I'm an okay fan. I like football more than I like the Texans, if that makes sense. No, but I do like what Miller said. I think the biggest thing is that they're actually blocking the second level. The Texans haven't been able to block the second level since 2015. Now they're doing it, and now Lamar Miller is actually able to get yards in the second level, break one tackle, and then run forever. And he hasn't had the opportunity at all since he's been here. So you know, that's been really good to see. I think the Broncos are 28th in run defense, DVOA. The last thing I want to say about this game is the Broncos' offensive line. They run block well, but they don't pass block well. And so in this game, you're going to have Garrett Bowles at left tackle, and you're going to have Jared Veld here at right tackle. You'll see Wall against Veld here a lot. You'll see Clowney against Bowles a lot. And you're going to see Bowles probably draw like – Clowney's probably going to draw like three holding penalties against Bowles in this game. Bowles just loves to hold guys. So that's going to be fun to watch too. So I think Keenum not only is going to be unable to spread the Texans out, but he's going to be running for his life too. And he's going to have to step up in the pocket really well and do kind of what he did in Minnesota more than what he's done in Denver's.
Where do you have this game at?
So I'm picking the Texans at the Pick'em. I think it's going to be close because every Texans game is close. And I think the Broncos are good enough at running the ball and stopping the pass to make any game, you know, interesting. They can actually do things well, unlike the Tennessee Titans and other teams are just mediocre all over the place. So are the Texans winning 23-20?
I hate you so much.
Did you really say the same thing?
Oh, my God. I have Houston 24, Broncos 21.
This is getting really weird. All right. Well, this is going to be a little bit too much. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in just a second. And we're back. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the Dallas Cowboys heading up to Nashville to play the Tennessee Titans in Monday Night Football. The Cowboys are 4-point favorites in this game. So I think these teams are really kind of similar in some ways. They're both just pretty mediocre. Both teams have played a lot of close games. And I think in a different year where they go like 5-1 in one position games, they'd be playoff teams. But this year, Dallas is 2-3 one score games. And I believe the Titans are 2-3 as well. And so if they were just a little bit luckier, they would be playoff teams. But instead, I think it's just two mediocre football teams in this game.
Oh, my Lord. I have heard so much crap talk to me ever since that Washington game. Now with the Cooper trade, so many people have made fun of me, hated on me for now the past 2 weeks. Do you know what life is like being me, man? It's tough, and you just don't care. But the thing is, I'm excited about this game because both teams have to win.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, if either one of these teams are going to do something in their division, now is the time for them to show up. And both of them have solid defenses. That's actually the problem with this game. It's going to be boring.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Woo. It is going to be boring to where you might as well just get comfortable. It's just going to be running after running after running. And both quarterbacks, it's Mariota and Dak. And I am really tired of hearing that Dak is the worst. Only because, listen, he is not being set up properly here. It's like on the home games, he's set up a certain way versus when they go on the road. It doesn't make any sense to me. As well as even last game, people talk smack about Dak. Zeke was horrible. He had about 15 carries for 33 yards.
Yeah.
That was god-awful. And yet Dak is the one who has the blame.
He was good in that Redskins game.
Because of the fumble, though.
Yeah.
It was because of that fumble, and I fully believe he also...
He held on the ball way too long.
Yeah, and you're spinning. What are you doing spinning in the end zone, too? That's not what you're supposed to do at all. So that was his fault, and the defense hung in there, and they truly only gave up 13 points, so I don't even blame them for that. And then everybody knows about that wonderful snap and that wonderful flag.
Him picking up the ball and moving it was the funniest thing ever.
Oh, my God.
It was something from a storybook.
It just happens with this team, but that's what I go back to. I blame coaching more than ever whenever it comes to things like that. Yeah, sure, it's maybe something on the ref, maybe something he does all the time. I'm still blaming coaching for all of this.
Yeah. Well, in this game, it's kind of hard for the Cowboys because they're going up against one of the greatest head coaches of all time, Mike Vrabel. He's a great leader. He leads his men. I would follow him anywhere. I follow him on a Hamburger Hill. I follow him into the storm drain with the red balloon hanging out. No matter where Mike Vrabel wants me to go, I would go there with him.
So, but just like with this whole Cooper thing, you know that was an overreaction. You know that's what happened with the Washington game. This was Jerry had to figure out something because his team was losing. They don't want to blame the coaching staff, and they don't want to blame Dak. I'm blaming the coaching staff. I want everybody that has control over that offense, I'm assuming it's Linehan and Garrett, to be fired. Like, that's what I need more than anything to have happen. I just don't understand why we're not setting up Dak for, again, the bootlegs, him running the read option. It's him going back, him having to throw the ball. The only thing I hope for now with this whole Cooper thing is that maybe this is going to take pressure off of him and allow Zeke to have open field to be able to run the ball more.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think they did a better job running more play action last week. They didn't run enough zone read, though. It's one of the things they did really well against the Jaguars in that game where they scored 40. They used Prescott as a runner really well. They didn't do as much in the Redskins game, which was a disappointment, but they did run a lot more play action bootlegs, which they should continue to do. Prescott, at this point in his career, maybe he never develops into it, but he's not a shotgun three-step drop back passer. That's not what he is at all.
That's not what he is, and I'm not expecting him to be that at all, but yet, for some reason, our offense that was supposed to be Dak-friendly this year and something different from the Tony offense, this is an offense you would run with Romo, where you're just saying, go back, throw deep, let's see what you got. He has no receivers that are able to break away from guys. Yeah. And also, when it came to the second half of that game, all of a sudden he found Cole Beasley. Where was he in the first half? Why aren't we just looking down in that way? It makes no sense to me. I hate my team, but I'm also really positive about this game, man. I'm feeling really good because I think Marcus Mariota is trash. And there is a report, though, which
hey,
makes
that's
me...
mean to say.
Hey, what?
Those are strong words.
Ramsey says it all the time when it comes to quarterbacks. Why can't I say it?
Yeah, I guess it's true.
What are you trying to say?
I don't know.
Marcus Mariota, by the way, he came out and he said that he finally has feelings in his fingers.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That's good.
Yeah. Are you scared now about this game? Now that Mariota can feel his fingers?
No, only because of the defense. Except David Irving, he high ankle sprain. He may be out.
Yeah.
So that does have me a little bit concerned, but not too concerned to where I think that we're going to be struggling against that offense. Man, I need some points.
Yeah.
And my big hope, but I think they're going to do it anyways, is they're just going to try to keep force-feeding their new toy in Cooper.
Yeah.
They're just going to keep trying to give him the ball over and over again and say, look here, look what we have. And I think it's going to be a bad play.
I think that if they get Cooper to have, like, here's 15 plays we're going to run with you. Let's get these 15 plays down as quickly as we can and try that. One of the things that they'll need to do is that whenever Cooper's against Malcolm Butler one-on-one, they need to throw deep. Butler's fine on shorter routes. He's a good tackler. He's good at intermediate spots, but he really struggles downfield. You can catch him downfield. The one reason I'm not super excited for this game is both these offenses are boring, like you're saying, and it's because they don't throw the ball downfield at all.
Yeah.
And I love deep balls. I love downfield throwing.
Wait, you're the guy who says you don't like the high scoring.
No,
NFL.
I like high. It's not that I don't like high. It's not that I don't like deep passes.
What?
I just don't like 38-37 point games.
You make no sense now. You realize
because
that.
A lot of those touchdowns were quick passes where there were seven tackles being broken, the guy scores.
So you
I like deep touchdown passes.
So you like okay. So you like deep passes, but you don't like high scoring.
Yeah. I don't like 38-31 bunch of broken tackles. That's how the beginning of the season was.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. A lot of those Chiefs games were, oh, this guy catches a short pass, nobody's around him. Oh, he breaks one tackle and he scores.
By the way, what are you going to do if it's like the Rams and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Are you going to cry?
I'd be fine with it.
You'd be fine with like 55-48?
I don't think it would be like that, but I'm fine with whatever happens. But yeah, so Dallas, they've thrown the ball. They've attempted only 32 passes, 15 yards of grade on the field, which is tied 30th. The Titans have attempted 30 passes, 15 yards more down the field, which is last in football. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of like football played in this 15-yard space, and nothing's going to go outside of there. And so that's why I'm not really excited for this game.
Yeah, and for me, whenever it comes to even the Titans, I mean, their defense isn't that bad either. So we have, what is it? They're averaging 18.1 points per game when it comes to that defense. And so it's third in the NFL. The only thing that they're not that good in is rush. They give up 112.3 yards a game. You know what that means? This is on Zeke. This better be Zeke's game. If this does not happen for Zeke, I don't know what we're doing. Because the Titans' weapons, I mean, Who's your best player? You gonna call it Corey Davis? Or you want Deion Lewis?
I would say Deion Lewis.
You want Deion Lewis your best player?
Even then, it's not saying a whole lot.
It's not. I mean, Corey Davis, he has 30 receptions for 395 yards. By the way, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, you want to talk about Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I mean, 84 attempts, 273 yards, 3.3 average.
Yeah, and he has a DVOA negative 6.7%, only 7 DYAR. Also, he doesn't get anything in the passing game at all.
No.
He's not a receiver at all whatsoever. What? And the problem, I think, with Henry is that he can't run fast at all, which is a big problem if you're a running back. So he runs to the first level. Even the blocking's good. He gets tripped up by too much stuff. And the only time he does anything well is whenever he breaks things to the left sideline and stiff arms somebody, then runs for 37 yards.
You know, here's my question to you, though. Wouldn't Derrick Henry be like a Marshawn Lynch? Like,
you would think that, yeah. but Lynch is still a fast player, though. He's a fast running back.
How does that work, though? Aren't they like the same? Isn't Marshawn Lynch fatter?
But like, of course, a 32-year-old Marshawn Lynch is in the same speed, but Lynch was never a slow running back. He was also super strong and can break tackles. You can be strong and fast. I don't think Henry is much of neither at all. And also, when you look at the numbers, too, Deion Lewis is averaging 3.8 yards an attempt behind the same offensive line in the same offense. And Deion Lewis also offers some stuff as a receiver, too. And so with Henry, like, unless Henry's cutting the ball to the left and stiff-arming somebody and running for 35 yards, he's completely worthless.
Man, for me, I really need Titans to lose. The problem is both these teams are coming off a bye as well. So, and it's not like Titans are bad. They had a tough loss against the Chargers last time they were out with 20-19.
That was like go for two and throw twice. Two shots, and both times they throw the ball from the shotgun.
So, if you're a coach, do you make that same choice?
I was fine with going for two. The problem is if you're at the 1 yard line.
But that's the NFL, though.
But the times are different, though. They're a team that has invested so much of their resources into their offensive line. I think you have to run the ball.
Hold on, but that's the issue, though, that we're talking about now. Because you're not trusting Deion Lewis to get that yard, are you?
I mean, not necessarily.
Exactly. Are you going to trust Derrick Henry or run play action pass
in that case or run his own read? There's a lot of different things you can do, but I think at the 1 yard line, you kind of have to run for it there. I think the worst play that you can have is have Mariota in the shotgun where he's been inaccurate so far.
You know what they should do? It's what I think you should do every single time you have 1 yard. Just do QB sneak. It works every single time in Madden.
Yeah.
The only time it has not worked is the Giants. Whenever they tried it twice, and that was ugly.
It works like 90% of the time.
Yeah, it works every time. If all you need is a yard, then it's easy.
Yeah. And also, you know, you talk about Tennessee's defense. I think their defense is mediocre. I think it should be a lot better, though, for what they added. You know, Kenny Byard's still really good. They have Rashawn Evans, Malcolm Butler, and Harold Landry. Adoree Jackson's playing a lot better this year. Dean Pease is their defensive coordinator, came from Baltimore. You expect for it to be, you know, better, maybe a top 10 defense. I know it's certain points allowed, but there's still a lot of that is because they have an offense that runs a lot of plays, so they have less opportunities and less plays to run against them. But overall, like, it's mediocre and they don't do anything super well. I think the biggest problem with their defense is that Derek Morgan and Brennan Rakpo haven't been that good this year, and they've needed to be better and they've really have dropped off. And I think this is kind of following the year where their age has caught up to them.
Man, okay. Is Mariota the quarterback?
I don't know.
You don't know. How does that not even work? We've asked this before.
I don't know.
You have to know by now.
No, and you know what's going to happen is they're going to keep his fifth-year option, give one more shot with him.
So fifth-year option. Yeah. It takes you 5 years to know if he can do something or not.
Yeah, that's what they're
going to do. That makes no sense. He should be gone at this point.
That's what they're going to end up doing, though. They're going to keep him for one extra year.
Man, they should just start Blaine Gabbert. That's what you should do.
I do like Blaine Gabbert. I do like Blaine Gabbert. So who do you have for this one?
Well, obviously. All right. So we have a boring game here, except I have Dallas 22. I have Titans 15.
All right. So I'm about to say it isn't going to make a whole lot of sense, but stick with me here. So I have Dallas winning 27-20, but with the points, with Dallas being 4-point favorites, I'm going to pick the Tennessee Titans with the spread. Okay. So, like, even though my score is 27-20, I'm picking the Titans with the spread. If that makes sense.
It doesn't. But, okay, That works. I mean, you said you were the Sunday master in Vegas. Nobody has proof of that but you. I had to go home early.
I got my wallet.
All I know is the Colorado State game. That's all I can remember.
I got my wallet. All right, so the next game that we're going to talk about is Panthers-Buccaneers. This is a game that you wanted to talk about. And I'm guessing you want to talk about this game because of Jameis Winston.
No, not at all, in fact. I just wanted to talk about it because you kept saying this is a great week of football. This is a horrible game. This is a trash game. This is a fun game. What are we talking about?
This is a fun
game. This is a terrible game. But you know what? I actually want to talk about it because Carolina, that's more than anything. Because I'm a little surprised by this team. They're kind of staying underneath the radar. They're 5-2. They're staying under the radar because the Saints are just kind of going along doing their thing at 6-1. But Cam Newton, he's in the MVP.
He's an MVP guy.
Yep, once again. And what are his weapons besides McCaffrey? DJ Moore now is coming along.
Devin Funch is the number one wide receiver. Olsen's really good.
Well, Olsen, he's now coming along because of the injury. Yeah. He's now getting
healthy. And Curtis Samuel's good too.
I'm surprised because he's the one who's turned these guys into something, it seems.
I think Norv Turner's done a great job also. The way they have some great screenplays, the way they use play action is really awesome. A lot of stuff is kind of to the center of the field. They create open runs. They're doing a great job using Newton as a runner, too. Newton this year, 66.4% completion percentage, 13 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, 6.9 yards an attempt. But as a runner, he's run the ball 32 times for 309 yards and 4 touchdowns, which is only 5 yards a carry, but that's still, and him being a running back at 5 yards a carry is a great, it's a great return for every average play that you're running, too. So the biggest thing with him is that not only has he been great as a passer, but he's been great as a runner as well.
All I know is I will always hate Cam Newton. So he is just a me-first type of guy. The moment it goes wrong is the moment we see the true Cam. I am not a Cam guy. The only thing is if he wins MVP again, I feel like everyone's going to be back on the Cam train. Everyone's going to be all about him. And also, I don't think they're going to go very far. I mean, I just don't see it in the NFC. Their defense is pretty solid, but as far as everything else goes, I'm just not a believer. I don't know what it is about this team. It's boring. Even Dallas gave them like a hard time, it seemed. It's just they're winning a lot of close games. The only thing that truly was impressive for me was last week against Baltimore. Man, did they destroy Flacco and the Ravens.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that one bit. I went in thinking that this was the game where everyone was going to see what I was talking about. Flacco, Crabtree, real freaking deal. That blew up in my face.
Yeah. And what they did, the Ravens, too, is they big blitzed Flacco a lot, condensed the pockets. He had trouble throwing those condensed pockets. And they also tackled really well, too, defensively. The one thing that really kind of screwed Baltimore over was that they didn't block Love. And then he hit Alex Collins immediately, getting that Jadeveon Clowney sort of tackle against Michigan. Ball fumbles, they score a touchdown immediately, and now it's 14-0. What really helped Carolina in that game, too, is their red zone offense. Their first three trips, they scored 3 touchdowns. It's 21-7. And with a team that rushes the passer and tackles as well as Carolina does, 21-7 is an enormous hole to have to climb out of. And also, the Panthers are a good running team, too, and they can close games down a lot quicker.
That's also what I always hated. Every single time on the goal line, you always had like the Carolina running back. Guess what's going to happen? He's not going to get the ball for the touchdown. Cam Newton's going to take the ball for the touchdown. That's what he's going to do every single time. It pissed me off, man. Either way, though, are you a believer in Cam? I mean, are you kind of...
I'm a believer in Cam. My thing with the Panthers is we don't know how good they really are until they play the Saints. And then until they play the Saints, we really won't know entirely what's up with them. If they're either going to be a playoff team or a team that can come out of the NFC.
All right. Let's go to the other quarterback then that you want to talk about.
All right, so Jameis Winston. So the last three games against Atlanta and Cleveland, against Atlanta, 30 for 41, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 2 sacks. Against the Browns, 30 of 52, 61.5%, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 5.29 yards attempt. Against the Falcons, 9.63 yards attempt. Against the Bengals last week, 18 for 35, 51.43% completion percentage. 1 touchdown to 4 interceptions. One of them was a pick 6, and that's what got him pulled. He was sacked 5 times, and he averaged 3.31 yards an attempt. Now, with Jameis, it's not a question of talent at all. It's not a question with him and his body and his ability.
Dumb.
I think it's one, he's dumb, like you're saying. And I didn't know about this until you brought it up after watching Hard Knocks last year. And he was like dumb in an endearing way. But the problem with the football field is that he's making the same mistakes he made 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's not learning at all. Nothing's sticking. And then two, when he misses high. And so he's overthrowing his receivers. The problem with that is that it's hard to overthrow guys 35 yards down the field. When you're overthrowing guys, you're overthrowing 15 yards down the field, 5 yards down the field. The problem with that is there's linebackers behind that guy, and there's safeties behind that guy, and that leads to a lot of interceptions. And so, you know, throwing 10 interceptions since getting the starting job back is inexcusable.
That is
and, like,
insane.
You can't play a guy who turns the ball over that much.
This has to be the end. I mean, you would think that he's obviously gone now. They're putting Fitz back. And also, with DeSean Jackson, whenever he demanded that trade as well, do you think he demanded it only because I can't play with Jameis. I just can't do it. He can't give me the ball. Because even once Fitz comes back, Fitz is giving everybody the ball.
Yeah.
Fitz came back into the game and he throws two TDs
Jameis,
like it's nothing.
Jameis hit Jackson like a 65-yard touchdown last week.
But is that the only thing he's done? Because typically he's not throwing into anybody.
I don't have the numbers for what Winston's done with Jackson compared to vice versa.
That's what I need to look up. You're supposed to be the numbers guy. What good are you to me now?
Those are one of those numbers I didn't look up. Well, the difference between Jameis and Fitzpatrick, I have those numbers. Completion percentage, Jameis 64.9%, Fitzpatrick 68.1%. Touchdown percentage, Jameis 4.1%, Fitzpatrick 9%. Interception percentage, Jameis 6.8%, Fitzpatrick 3.5%. Yards and attempt, Jameis is at 8, and Fitzpatrick is at 10.8. So the difference really between the two is that Fitzpatrick's throwing the ball downfield more often and better than Jameis is. And he's not throwing as many interceptions.
Do you think the Magic's going to return?
No, I mean, I don't think so.
If not, then what is Tampa doing? What do you do if you're Tampa then?
This is what I think I would do. One of the things I think is frustrating in Tampa is their offensive line's okay. It's not a pass protection issue. And also the receivers are great. They have Mike Evans, Jackson, Godwin, Humphreys,
but are they going
OJ
somewhere? Because this is my problem with it. Because DeSean Jackson would demand a trade. We're now seeing that other teams were obviously offering picks because they believe that all they need is a receiver. Tampa's saying, oh no, I'm going to hold on to DeSean Jackson. Where are they going though with this?
Yeah. Well, I think this is what they're going to do this year. I think with the collection of talent they have, I think you bench Jameis for the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah, he's done.
And you tell Jameis, look, you need to learn how to not do these things at all. These things can't happen at all anymore. This interception where you're looking through the linebacker, where you're not taking a sack here when you should have, these things can't happen at all anymore. So what I would do is I would bench him for the rest of the year, have him sim watch behind Fitzpatrick. Because also Jameis, he started from week one. He's never had a chance to watch from the sideline and sit and learn. So I think you had to bench him for the rest of the year, have him sit and learn, and then.
But you even said he hasn't improved in 4 years.
He hasn't sat and learned for a while like this. So maybe you try to do that, go back and look at things after the year's over, and see if you want to give him one more shot next year. If not, then you cut ship and you move on. The problem with that, though, for the Bucks is they're probably going to win 7 games this year. You're not going to get a top pick.
But that's what I mean.
For a quarterback.
Why wouldn't you just kind of throw the season away, tank? I don't even know how you do that in the NFL. But you tank at this point. That's why I was surprised that they didn't get rid of DeSean Jackson. Obviously, you're not going to get rid of Mike Evans. But you can at least, people are offering third and fourth rounders. Why not take another pick in the draft? As well as, you're not going anywhere. You're going to end up with 7 wins and get you in the middle of the draft. That gets you nowhere.
Yeah.
If you need that.
Well, you'd have to trade up to get that.
Exactly.
I guess you didn't ask me if you would trade for. I would trade DeSean Jackson, you know, this year if I was them. But you didn't ask me that. Yes, what would you do if I was Tampa?
You know what?
I think if I was Tampa.
It's fine.
I would trade Jackson. But I think you said Jameis the rest of the year, reevaluate after the year, give him a chance to sit and learn the rest of the season. And go from there.
He's eating too many W's.
That's the funniest thing ever. His teammates' reactions were the best part. Just
man, what are you doing? You need to stop.
He was kind of endearing at Hard Knocks, but I can see how it's kind of, I can see how it kind of goes against him. The one thing about though is Jameis Winston didn't give up 28 points last week to the Bengals. The Buccaneers defense is terrible. So I have some numbers for you.
What you got?
For the Buccaneers defense. Points against 233rd, last in football. 33.3 games, points per game allowed, last in football. 2,229 passing yards allowed, 31st most in football. 20 passing touchdowns allowed, last in football. 7.9 yards in attempt, 30th in football. 8 rushing touchdowns, 27th in football. 4.2 rush yards in attempt, only 13th. 43.8% pass defense, DVOA 32nd. 23.8% pressure rate, which is 29th. Additionally, Vernon Hargraves is on the IR. Maurice Fleming, another one of their quarterbacks, is on the IR. Quan Alexander is on the IR. Mike McCoy missed the last two games. Vita Vea was hurt entering this year. Jason Pierre-Paul is questionable this game too. And so, like, their only good player on their entire defense right now is Lavonte David. Other than that, it's just 10 really bad guys. So it's not only that you have this offense that is being hamstrung by a quarterback keeps turning the ball over. You're having a guy who has to score 35 points a game to win anyways. And so all around, it's a complete mess. So even if they trade up next year and draft a quarterback like in the third spot, their defense is still going to be bad. And so I think – and it's also an expensive defense.
So what do you do, Matt? So you're saying you just win your 7 games and you just keep going into mediocrity forever and ever?
No, I don't say that. I think part of the problem is that, one, their general manager is trying to win games now, so that's why he's not going to trade Jackson. And your head coach is trying to win games now. But yeah, I think they should go into a full, complete rebuild, especially because of the problems they have on the defensive side of the ball and the fact that they're paying these guys a lot of money too.
I think Tampa is completely screwed. And your idea is so horrible. But then again, my ideas are always better. That's why I told you Wyoming instead of Colorado State.
Well, I just said Tampa should completely rebuild after this year. I would be on the fence about giving Jameis another shot next year, though.
I
sat and let him watch for a year and then seen how it kind of goes after that.
Do you really believe he's going to pay attention, though?
I don't know what it's like inside.
Oh, I'm learning something new. He's not learning anything.
I don't know what it's like inside the building, but $12 million for a quarterback isn't a whole lot. And, like, the talent's there, you know. Like, the talent's undeniable. It's everything else is the problem.
Man, they should have tried trading him. That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Who would have taken that quarterback?
I don't know. Well, who do you think's better, Mariota or Jameis?
You know what? I'll give it to Jameis.
I think Jameis is more talented, and it's been better. But if you want to win football games, you want Mariota. Because Mariota won't lose the game for you.
Exactly,
he won't win
right.
The game, though.
When you're going out there, it's just kind of like Ty Montgomery, except you're going to tell him, hey, Jameis, don't throw a pick. That's all you have to do in this fight. Don't throw a pick. You know what he's going to do? He's going to throw the pick.
Yeah. Well, last game against the Bengals, he threw 2 interceptions that were overthrows and 2 interceptions that were just unquestionably dumb. And that's kind of what you have to deal with them. So for this game at Carolina, 5.5 points, I'm going with Carolina. I have Carolina win this game 37-27. I think they score at least 35 points.
Dude, like, I'm just going to start. Like, you're looking at my – you are looking at my damn paper every single time. I have Carolina 38. I have Tampa 28.
Hey, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Like I said, I have this 3-game advantage, so I'm just going to pick the same as
you. That's
you
all you're doing right now. And that's why I know you're doing it on purpose.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the biggest game of the 2018 NFL regular season.
Oh, my God. You can't
between the Rams
wait.
And New Orleans Saints. And we're back. So the last game we're going to talk about tonight is the Los Angeles Rams going to New Orleans to play the Saints. The Rams are 2.5-point favorites on the road, and the Rams are 8-0, and the Saints are 6-1.
You're, like, so excited about this game. You're a giddy little schoolgirl about it.
Yeah,
like
this is
like
the
your
biggest game
of
2018
season. No, it's not.
It's not
even that big of a deal. Because, okay, so this game was more important than the Pats versus Kansas City?
It's on the same level. I like watching these two teams more than the Pats and Chiefs.
Why?
Because the Chiefs always lose in the second round of the playoffs, and the Pats always win the AFC, and just it always happens like that every year.
What did the Rams do last year?
They were young. They were still only 1 year in.
They still lost in the first round.
Yeah, they're still only 1 year in, though. They're much better this year.
Oh, okay.
And the Saints were my playoff pick to go this year, too. I think both these teams...
The Saints are my playoff pick. Don't try to...
My Super Bowl pick. My Super Bowl pick.
Well, they're my Super Bowl pick, too.
Oh, cool. I'm glad. Well, this is 1A for the biggest game of the season. And then Chiefs-Patriots was 1B, I believe. And so, for this game, the reason why I'm so excited for it is I think... Whoever wins this game, the Rams have the inside track for the number one seed in the conference, which is enormous. The difference between playing at home versus going to New Orleans for a playoff game is huge. And then also, they're not going to lose more than two games at all this year. So the Saints are going to catch up and tie. They're going to have to tie the Rams potentially to get the number one seed in the playoffs. And also, in order to do that, they need to have the head-to-head tiebreaker. Because like I said, I don't see the Rams losing more than two games, too.
By the way... The Saints are boring as anything now. I think they're great, don't get me wrong, but they are so boring to watch. All they do is control the ball. It's pretty damn insane because Ingram and Kamara is just unfair.
Yeah.
They're going to get a first down every single time they are driving. And they have these long drives. They're taking 6 to 7 minutes each and every single time. Drew Brees does not have to throw the ball. Having Ingram on the team and back, that's kind of my thing now. Was the defense truly that good last year? Or was it they were off the field?
Well, that's part of it. They go hand in hand.
I mean, as far as they were just healthy the whole time, so fresh guys going in the game, offense controlling everything, they're not having to worry. And again, having Ingram and Kamara is cheating.
Yeah.
Ingram is damn good.
Yeah. Well, I think also their defense, too, last year, they had a really great draft class last year.
They did.
And then, you know, I think defensively you're seeing a big regression to the mean because they went from, like, 30th in defensive DVOA all the way up to like 7th, and now they're back around like 28th, but they're 2nd run defense DVOA, and then they're 30th in pass defense DVOA. So there's a big dichotomy between the two, but I do think their pass defense is going to get better as the year goes on as well.
Yeah, and for me, the Rams, I feel like they're going to have a falling off. I don't know what it is about them. The Kansas City Chiefs for me seem like a video game team, where it's just really fun to watch, while the Rams, I feel like there's just something that's not right for me. I'm not a big believer in them. I think their defense is semi-solid, but here's my thing. If Rodgers got the ball last week and Ty Montgomery wasn't the genius that he was, yeah, are the Rams still 8-0?
I don't know.
Stop it. I hate Aaron Rodgers, and even I know if he gets the ball in that situation... They are going to win that game. All he needs is a field goal.
The only thing is the Rams' pass rush is so good with Donald and Sue in the interior that you can't say that for sure at all.
I can't say that for sure.
Well, we'll never have the answer.
Okay, so you're
we'll
trying.
Never have the answer.
I hate Aaron Rodgers, and even I know he has done that every single time to teams, mine included. And you're saying that no, you don't know the answer. Just history doesn't prove itself.
Yeah, because this is a different thing.
How is this a different thing?
Because Donald's like. The best interior
rusher. Do you
have a
crush on the
time.
Rams? Why do you like the Rams so much?
Well, one of the things I like about them is that they run the same personnel every time. They have one tight end, one running back, and 3 wide receivers. Every single play has some sort of motion on it. Every sort of play is another package for a different play. They run the ball. Every play is run really quickly, too. And they're exhausting to watch. And also, like, everything Jared Goff throws is open. And it's unbelievable. And then even when things aren't, you know, super open, Goff has made some like just spectacular throws too, especially the way he evades pressure and resets himself and puts the ball downfield. Also, Todd Gurley's the best running back in football, and he's my pick for MVP this year,
yeah,
undoubtedly.
I'll agree.
So last year when Gurley had 15 touchdowns, I was like, there's no way he's going to have 15 touchdowns again.
By the way, you also need to tell everybody that you had the first pick in the fantasy draft. Hey, who did you pick, Matt?
David Johnson.
How is that working out?
I like David Johnson as long as I don't look at Todd Gurley's numbers. Because Johnson's always like 13 points. I'm like, yeah, this is fine. I just need 13. And then you look at Todd Gurley, it's 32, 47. Gurley already has 19 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
He had 15 last year.
Well, is that a problem, Matt? I mean, obviously,
no,
he's not going to
duplicate spectacular.
It.
But no, he's my MVP pick. He was my MVP pick last year with 15 touchdowns and 19 this year. He has 800 yards rushing. He has 351 yards receiving. He has 11 rush touchdowns, 4 receiving touchdowns. And I think he's the reason why their offense works so well, too, because they can run that 11 personnel, and they always have 4 receivers on the field because of what Gurley does. And also, Gurley is such a great receiver and screenplays too, specifically. And you know, he's just been awesome. And also my other reason for Gurley to be the MVP this year too is there's a lot of good quarterbacks out there. Like Matt Ryan's like on a 3-4 team, and there's really not that much difference between him and like the third best quarterback in football. Between him and Cam Newton, there's not that much of a difference, only the record. And so like, unless you would give it to Mahomes for his 22 touchdowns, I don't think there's a big standout quarterback. But I think with running backs, there's such a big difference between Gurley and let's say like Kamara and Gurley and Elliott.
But that's what I mean though whenever it comes to this. Yes, Gurley is great. But New Orleans, what makes him great is they're two running backs. It's not to say, oh yeah, Ingram and Kamara, they're as good as Gurley, but in a way, they're better. Because they both can do certain things and certain things better, and they're always fresh going in and out. It's pretty much at this point, who does Drew Brees want to give the touchdown to when it comes to the goal line? It's kind of disgusting. He doesn't even need to throw the ball anymore. Man, the Saints are boring now because their defense was doing so bad at the beginning where you saw the old Drew Brees come out throwing over the 300 yards, the three TDs, going crazy. Now it's the boring Saints where they're just running the ball and running the clock and winning games.
Yeah, I like
it. Which, by the way, they should not have beaten the Ravens. I am holding on to that because Tucker missing the only extra point of his career, I will never, ever forget that.
Yeah.
That his face looks like my face when it happened because Flacco did everything he was supposed to. I picked them. I believed in them. Whatever.
Yeah, it was spectacular. Well, the other weird thing about the Saints, too, is they beat the Vikings last week. The Vikings were up. Adam Thielen has his only fumble of the year in the red zone. The Saints scoop it up, run all the way to the 30, unsportsmanlike penalty, have the ball in the red zone. Kamara takes the ball to the one-yard line. Next play, they score. And then, I think two possessions later, Kirk Cousins throws a pick six where he's scrambling the outside and the receiver stops. He thinks he's going to run. Throws a right to P.J. Williams, takes it back, and the game's over. And so, like, I do think the Vikings are up there talent-wise, even though last week against the Saints, you know, was kind of a strange game that way. Because those two plays really swung that entire game. And those are more kind of fluky plays than like a talent or a skill sort that you can point to.
So are you saying that the Saints are just getting lucky?
I'm not saying they're getting lucky. I mean, I still think they're...
Are you hot on the Rams?
Yeah, for sure.
You're hot
the Rams are better
and
than
sweaty
the Saints.
For the Rams? Whoa! Yeah. Whoa, and now you're throwing that out
the
there?
Rams have been better than the Saints all year.
Oh, my God. Okay. Here's my thing.
The one thing the Saints have going for them in this game is the Rams struggle at stopping the run. The Saints have a great run offense.
So, okay, you make no sense. You're the guy, once again, who hates the high-scoring teams, the high-scoring NFL. The Rams, are they the greatest offense to you?
I think the Chiefs' offense is better. But yeah, they're like number two.
So a Chiefs and Rams Super Bowl you're happy with.
Yeah,
I'd
be fine with it.
What's the over-under when it comes to total combined points? 100?
70.
100?
I think it'd be like 70, maybe 60. Probably 60.
60.
Yeah.
You're going to say 30 to 30.
Yeah, that's what they started off at.
Okay. You're out of your damn mind. What did Philly and New England do last year?
I don't know what their over-under was to start off. I can tell you.
It doesn't matter, but the points being scored, it's going to be double of what the Kansas City and Rams are going to do. So, is the Rams offense the greatest offense you've seen? And also, what begs my question to you, because everybody doubted it, was the whole let's build a super team idea, where everybody was going to come and join the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, I doubted it. I picked the Rams not to make the playoffs this year.
See, okay. Well, I don't know what you're doing with that. And
I just thought they made too much of a leap last year, and they added so many different players, and this stuff doesn't usually work when you add that many players that quickly.
And they were even going to try to add Khalil Mack, and they even said that if they were to receive him, they would keep him for a year and then release him because they obviously couldn't pay for him.
Yeah.
That's...
Look, my problem with the offense is, again, I'll say, it's not that like the receivers are open, they're throwing the ball downfield, this and that. It's whenever they throw a 7-yard pass and they break four tackles and score. That's what I couldn't take, and it was sickening. And all these like wide open like 7-yard passes or slants or nobody's covering them, and they run forever and score. That's what I couldn't take. I'm fine with the Rams offense where like they're scoring because they have 8 drives where they get 15 yards of play and score immediately. I'm fine with that. I can deal with that. It's all the other stuff that I don't really enjoy it all whatsoever.
You don't make any sense to me.
That's fine. I'm a very complicated
man. Yeah, you know what? I don't even get you anymore.
So the other thing I'm excited for about this game is the Rams' pass rush against the Saints' pass blocking. So the Rams right now, they're first in pressure rate at 39.2%. Aaron Donald this year, he has 10 sacks, 17 quarterback hits, 3.5 pressures. He's probably the greatest interior rusher of all time.
Yeah.
The Saints, on the other hand, they're first in pressure rate up for their pass blocking offensive line. And so you have Suh, or Sue, I guess you say.
Suh.
I'm very stupid.
His name is Suh.
I've been sick for 2 days. So you have Suh and Donald against Andrews Pete, Max Unger, and Larry Warford. Larry Warford's awesome, too. He's a lot of fun to watch. And so that's a really interesting thing, too, because the Rams don't really get a lot of exterior pressure. It's all interior. And that's exactly what Breeze can't have at all. He can't sidestep around it. He can't see over it in front of him. He has to stand over his tippy toes to see over the line of scrimmage anyways. And so the pressure on his face is going to, you know, obliterate him. And also you're forcing him to the outside, too. And he's not that good of a thrower on the move like that, too.
Whoa. You are just full of the hatred right now.
I'm not
now
saying it's going to happen.
Whoa.
I'm saying this can't happen
to him. I'm kind of loving this because we are going to be so opposite already in our picks. Because it's like I told you. And you talking about, he's not going to even throw the ball that much.
He'll have to. Well, maybe not. You may be right.
I don't think it's going to be that great of a game as you keep thinking over
it's
there.
I think it's going to be
boring. Because that's what the Saints are these days. Boring. And by the way, that's what I'm going to go back to here. The Saints are who I believe in, man. Especially over the Rams. The Rams, they're due for the loss. I think they've had some close games, some close points. Like I mentioned, the Denver Broncos played them close. And
if he
would have gotten the ball.
Saints lost to the Bucks. The Browns played him close. The Ravens played him close.
Listen, that was during Fitzmagic.
The same thing happens, though.
Okay, so here's my
problem. Tyrod Taylor was beat on.
Matt, do you believe in Harry Potter? Because magic was real that time, all right? And that was the loss.
Okay,
we both know that's what happened.
Just over the course of an eight-game schedule, you're going to have to win close games. You know, things like that are going
to
happen.
Oh, yeah, it's happened very often when it comes to the Rams.
Twice.
You know what? Against teams that are, in my opinion, a little bit better. So,
I don't know. The last thing I want to say about this game, too. So, the Rams' defense, they're 25th in run defense DVOA, 6th in pass defense DVOA. And the Saints defense, they're 2nd in run defense DVOA and 29th in pass defense DVOA. And so both these defenses are bad at the opposite things too. So I think that's going to be kind of the key to this game is whichever offense can take advantage of the other defense's weaknesses. So if the Rams can run the ball and then if the Saints can run the ball, if the Rams can pass the ball. I think what it's going to take for the Saints to win this game is they have to get out to a lead early. If they get out to a lead early and they can run the ball and chew the clock and do what you're saying, be more of a ball control team, I think they'll be okay. The problem is going to be if they fall behind and they're going to have to throw the ball 55 times.
Oh, no. Drew Brees can't throw the ball 55 times.
Yeah, that's the opposite of it. But yeah, I think with the pass versus the Rams have, it's much more difficult for them to have to be stuck with Brees throwing the ball 55 times. But that's what makes the Saints so good, though, at the same time. Is that for that to be the one thing that you don't want to have happen really isn't that bad of a thing. Like you're saying, is Brees throwing the ball 55 times, who cares?
Yeah.
But in the past, remember when he threw the ball 55 times a game, they would just go 7-9, nobody cared what they did.
Doesn't matter, but they would still get a close game. So, you know what? You're out of your damn mind here. What's your score?
So I have the Rams winning 28-27, but if I was to make the pick with the spread, I would take the points with the Saints at the 2.5.
You know what? Just because I knew what you were going to try to pull, this is how confident I am. Saints 28, Rams 25. The Rams are going to destroy them. They're going to own the ball, own the clock, own everything. You're going to come next week here to me. You're going to say you're sorry. You're going to tell me that Drew Brees is so much better than Jared Goff. You're going to say you did not mean to insult the man who broke all the records this year, who already had a celebration in honor of his name, you are going to say sorry.
Well, maybe it'll be too late for me to say sorry. Who knows? Well, so for this week, I had the Texans, you had the Texans, and that game was a pick 'em. I had You had the Cowboys. I had the Titans with the spread, but the Cowboys being 4-point favorites.
Makes no sense.
We both had the Panthers as 5.5-point favorites. And for this game, we both had the Rams with the points. But we both had the Saints with the points, but I do think the Rams are going to win, if that makes sense. I have it here. I said that incorrectly. We both picked the Saints with the points, but I do think the Rams win, if that makes any sense.
Dude, no matter what, I have the Saints win, with or without the points.
It doesn't really make any sense. It's a cop-out. It's a cop-out buy-in, but when it comes to overall tallies, we're doing points.
It doesn't make any sense. So you have Dallas winning by 7, and then you have the points saying that you would take Tennessee.
Yeah, because 4 points is too high, and they're on the road. I think both
those teams are the same.
Yeah, like if I had to pick a score, that was the score I would pick. But if I had to go with the points, I would take the points.
Doesn't make any sense.
It's probabilities.
There's no probabilities. You're a damn liar.
Yeah, it's probabilities.
Yeah, your probability landed us with Colorado State, okay?
That was all the heart.
By the way, you know what? We got way too talked into that.
I hate Colton.
Like, that was the worst thing I've ever... Oh, we might as well bet on high school football. No, the only thing that you would want to bet on next is college softball. Because for some reason, you truly watch every game. Not even in a creepy way. You just watch every game.
It's my favorite sport.
Yeah, you've watched competitive softball.
It goes football, NFL, Texas Rangers, baseball. Those are my three favorite sports.
You start talking about who's your favorite pitcher. And you even talk about like batting averages with them, strikeouts. Way too intense.
I have to go to Oklahoma City next year to actually see it in person.
That's all you want to do?
That's all I want to do.
That's you know, good for you. You can do whatever you want. Yeah, it's 2018, right?
It's my life.
Yeah,
it's now or never.
That's a song.
No, it's not. I just came up with
Was that Three Doors Down?
I wish.
Well, yeah, I don't know who that is.
I bought that signed guitar. It's in my room now.
You do not have that signed guitar. Yeah. Three Doors Down.
Yeah, that's how much money I won on Sunday.
That's not how much money. You know, I lost because of you.
We both won. Whatever. So anyways, that's all I have for tonight. All Taylor has for tonight. We'll do another preview show next week, and we'll do a review show of the Texans-Broncos game on Tuesday night with BFD. But anyways, thank you for listening to Valorant Radio. I don't know.
Go Cowboys!
'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.